And I'll say there ain't a daddy in this Bible that's perfect except for the Heavenly Father. He's perfect. And we all know ain't a child perfect. Well, I think I could have an argument with my mom and dad and think I was a perfect child, but they'd say I was lying. But I will say this morning, or this after this morning, I will say this. It's so great to know that God gives us mothers. And if you have yours with you, if you're still able to talk to your mother, by all means, it'd do you a bit of good to make a handout or a phone call or whatever it is to be that with your mother. If you got Proverbs chapter number 31, say amen. If you'd like to follow along with us, we invite you to stand and open up your King James Bible or keep it open. If you would like to follow along, going to be in Proverbs chapter number 31. I'm going to start reading at verse number 10. And this is what the Bible said. The Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doeth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengthen her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to all the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, wonderful Savior, Father, we come to you again, thanking you, Father, for the blessed hope. Thank you, Lord, Father, for the opportunity that we have to stand. Lord, Father, we thank you. As we have said, we thank you for these mothers. We thank you, Lord God, that they're here today. We pray for all those that are here today. Lord, we pray for the hearts of everybody that's here this morning. I know it's Mother's Day, but Lord, it's preaching time. And Lord, we need your anointing. We need your fresh oil. We need your power. We need your demonstration to preach through us this morning, Lord. That we not be a show, that we not be excellency of speech, but Lord, Father, preach us in a simplistic, plain, simple way, Lord, but anointed and filled with your power and your spirit. Lord, that hearts may be open to receive and to hear exactly, Lord, Father, what you say needs to be done in our life. That, Father, not only that you would speak it, that we would hear it, and Lord, Father, we would respond to it. Lord, I know there's been people here that's heard the gospel over and over and over again, and maybe the Mother's Day message, some people say, "I've heard one, I've heard them all." But God, can I say this, Lord? Ain't nothing like it when you do the preaching. And Lord, Father, we pray that you do it today. It's in your Son's sweet, precious name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. I could go through all these verses and all this scripture about the virtuous woman, but there's one verse in this that I want to get to before I move on to Deuteronomy. And I will say this, that oftentimes the days that we're living in today, the world seems like it dictates on how things are supposed to go. And it seems like more and more and more, Brother James, that the world has got more and more of a foothold inside the house of God, inside the church of God. It's already got a foothold in the home of the family and of the believer. But I want to say this before I go any further. I thank God for you mothers that's told the line, that stood the time and stood the test, and throughout the trials and the tribulations and the heartaches and the things that's went on, you've stuck by the stuff, if you'll have that today. You stuck with the good things. You stuck with things that's not popular. You stuck with things that are true and things are right. I remember as a kid growing up, my granny, she would always say some things, and my mom would say some things. And we was going up, Jordache jeans was the big thing, you know, in the 80s. And everybody just loved them Jordache jeans. I might be telling all my age, and Paul's over here grinning real big. And I'll never forget, Paul, I wanted a pair of them Jordache jeans, something fierce. And I'll never forget my granny and my mama. They would look at me and say, "Oh, you want somebody looking at your backside? You don't need a pair of jeans that could draw attention to your backside. You need to put on a decent pair of pants and a decent shirt. Comb your hair the right way." They wanted me to live right, Brother Roger. They wanted me to act right and present myself right. See my hair? The preacher today, isn't that still the way it's supposed to be? Character is the thing that we need in today's day and time. Morality's been tossed out the window from the house all the way to the White House. Somebody say amen right there. But I will say this afternoon, I'm so glad there's some mothers who was a daring to be different and not afraid to stick with the Lord and stick with the stuff, made a difference and stood the time. Maybe they had not been perfect. Maybe they had not been the way that you wanted them to be. But bless God, thank God they didn't believe in abortion. And thank God we're all still here today. And thank God that He loved us so much that He placed us. And this Bible is talking about the virtuous woman. I do believe here in Proverbs chapter number 31, if you ever want to find out what kind of woman God looks at and says that's a woman that should be highly favored, look at Proverbs chapter number 31. Look how she's described. Look how she works. Look how she is. But there's something in this Proverbs that I had no plans on getting on, but the Lord has brung my attention to. In verse number 30, the Bible says this. At verse 30 of Proverbs chapter 31, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. In the days, day, and time, we see more and more that people want to dress and be in hip and be in style. They want to look cool. They want to be a part of the crowd. But I believe this, Brother Don, it's more about to be faithful and that unto the Lord. Can I say this? The Bible says, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. It's not about being hip and being cool. And can I say this? I know it might be kind of quiet. Some folks say, well, we didn't come to Mother's Day to hear mothers beat up. I'm not beating up on a mother inside of here, Brother James. But if you get caught in the crosshairs of this from the Lord, then God help you. You got some help today and you can get things straightened out. But we're living a day and time where it's more about being hip and more about being popular. One of the reasons why this country's gone down the way that it has because the home's been busted up and the home is no longer the way it ought to be. We got men trying to do things they ought not to do. They ought to stay home, be husbands and be daddies and provide for their home. Somebody say amen right there. Brother Eddie knows exactly what I'm talking about. We got to deal with people that's too lazy to get up, go get to work, support their family and support their kids. God help us. Me and Brother Brian sitting out here on Thursday night. Y'all pray for me right off the bat. Gorgeous, changing everything about it. We're standing out there, and this guy stopped by and handed me his card. He said, "I'm going to let you know something. I saw two young men out here, and I was just going to offer them a job." He said, I need help. I got my 80-year-old father-in-law working next to me. He said, he's too old to be working. He can't work like he ought to be. I'm just trying to find some folks to work. Brother Paul, ain't that the problem we have nowadays? I hear people all the time saying, I don't know why I'm preaching this way, but I love it that I'm preaching this way. And I'll say this, that guy said, I'm looking for somebody to help. You know what we need to do today? We need to get back to the way that it should be, not the way that it always used to be. We need to get back to the way that it should be. Need husbands to be husbands, daddies to be daddies, mommies to be mommies, and children to be children. Oh, vain and things of this world. They'll never add to your soul. They'll never add to your spirit. They'll drag you down in the muck and the mire and the gutters of society, and they don't care how it deals with you. But friend, the Lord's looking for one who says, I don't care about the beauty. I'll say, stop right there and say something. You ought to present yourself to look halfway decent. Somebody say amen. Comb your hair. Brother Billard said he put his teeth, had his teeth in, and we said amen and kind of laughing and having a good time. But can I say this? You ought to present yourself presentable. You're hearing the preacher? Y'all praying for me, say amen. We ought to present ourselves. We ought to present ourselves in society where folks can respect us. Present ourselves in society where folks can have some respect for us. Somebody say amen right there. But he says right here that the woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. God help us to get back to the point in time when a woman and a man could look up at God and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you and follow your ways. Today's day and time, we don't need a... Some folks are saying that teachers need to carry guns in the school, need to arm more people with guns. They're saying, when I say you ought to give the paddle back to the parents, give it back to the teacher. But I got schooled by the Lord, Brother James. I don't think we need the paddle. paddle back in school. I don't think we need to paddle back in the home. I think we need the King James Bible back in the laps of mamas and the laps of daddies, showing the kids the right way to go and the right way to live. Who can find a virtuous woman? I'll say this, the Bible speaks of her as something that she should be greatly desired. And I want to say thank you once again. Got to spend some time with some of these elder women here at the church, going to places, funeral homes, singing, going to the singings, going to revivals. I thank God for some that are still sticking with the stuff after all these years. An example to be given unto the younger generation. Don't worry. And some of you preachers might think, going, I wonder if the preacher is going to hit Titus chapter number 2. We'll get to Titus chapter number 2. Somebody needs to realize that there's still a standard that God has. You know, a lot of folks say, well, I don't like standards. I don't like convictions. But that's what's wrong with the world. They've tore down the standards. They've brought down the convictions. But Isaiah said, lift up a standard. Lift it up that folks may see. I will say this morning, when it comes to being in the will of the Lord and doing the things that God wants us to do, the most important thing to have is it starts inside the home. I know a lot of people say, well, I want to go to the church that's filled and powerful. I want to go to the church where the Word of God is preached and the songs are sung. But friend, you will never have a church that way unless the home first starts off that way. I'll say this, that the home is the most important place and the most important prize in the world. Can I say this? It's the place where you can get the foundation. It's the place where the foundation gets stirred up. It's the place where memories are made. It's the place where memories are lasting. It's the place where folks can look back and reminisce. No doubt we could sit and talk about the old home place and the things that's went on, and those bring back good memories. But friend, back in the old days when the good memories were going on, there was something different than there is today. It seems like today they want to toss out everything that's good, moral, and decent, and founded upon the Word of God. But friend, I'll tell you this from the depths of my heart. I feel sorry for a lot of people, because it'll always come to naught. It's going to burn up. It's going to perish. And friend, you can't go wrong investing in the Word of God and in investing in your home. Mamas, if I can give you any piece of advice, stick with that Bible. Preacher, my kids don't act right. Stick with the Bible. Preacher, my kids are unruly. Stick with the Bible. Join the club. My kids don't act right half the time, and they're unruly at sometimes. I'll admit it. Somebody, I know they'll get mad at me and roll their eyes at me, and they'll get say, look at me like that. See, Caleb done got busted. He's over rolling his eyes. Let me get away with it. He's over saying, James got me in trouble. But I'll say this. That's just the way kids are, Sister Aaron. That's the way they are. That's the way they grow up. You know why kids grow up that way? That's why they got to have a mom and a dad, Brother Paul. They got to have somebody in their grill, in their face, in their life, making sure they're acting right. Somebody needs to tell them no. Somebody say amen right there. That's a concept that needs to be refreshed in 2018. The word no. When a kid says, can I do this? No. Can I do that? No. No more maybe, no more let me think about it, but just a flat out no. I got one sister, he keeps coming to me and said, Daddy, can I do this? Can I do that? I just keep giving him a flat out no. What I love about it, he tries to go behind my back. And he goes to Mom and said, Mama, I asked Daddy, but Daddy didn't say too much. What are you saying? She says no. I'll say it's a novel concept, but I think it'll work just to give him the word no. And y'all pray for me. I don't know why I'm preaching this way this morning, but God knows exactly why. I've got a lot of introduction, and I got three women I want to give you the example of if you can pattern your life after and to see and realize. But if you'd like to flip, this is where the Lord really placed upon my heart in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And I'm going to start reading at verse number 4. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and at verse number 4. Here's what the Bible says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. Amen. Our Lord is one God. Verse 5 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Verse 7 says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in the house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of the house and on thy gates. I thank God that the Lord did not leave us without a pattern. I'm glad God did not leave us without some instructions on how to raise kids and how to live a life. The Bible says he starts off saying, Moses is who they gave the credit to write in the book of Deuteronomy. Moses starts off saying, the Lord, he's one God. We got a group nowadays that seems to think that God's three different entities and they're doing everything separately. My Bible says there's three that bear record in heaven. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. They're not three separate gods. There's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Somebody say amen right there. When we get that part right, we're heading off in a good direction. But not only do we not have to recognize that there's just one God, but we got to love Him. We got to worship Him with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind. If you'll have it, you got to make Him priority in your life. You got to make Him the one who's in control of your life. No doubt it's hard sometimes for people to realize, but you need to run every decision and everything through the Lord. Why? Because He's God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We live in a generation now when there not only there's no morals, but there is no fear of God. But the Bible says He's one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. He says no matter what you do, everything should be centered upon the Lord. And some of them say, preacher, you know how hard it is sometimes to keep my life centered upon the Lord? And I'll say, amen, I know exactly why it's so hard, because this flesh makes it hard. The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. And Brother Josh, I've seen people whose lives get rough, whose lives get tough. Things don't seem like they're going to work out right. Things are busting out at the seams. I'll say this, that just because you're saved doesn't mean problems won't come that way. But when you have God in your life and you're worshiping the Lord and you're loving the Lord with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and with all thy might, friend, He's the one that can put the seams back together. He's the one that can make you something out of nothing. He's the one who can say when the paychecks are rolling in, He said, I'll put food on your table. He's the one that says, well, I've got medical conditions, but He's the one that can heal you. I mean, I thank God He still heals today. Hey, I'll say this. There's some people in here right now who could wave a hand and say, I know about the healing of God. But I'll say it all centers around God being in the home. Verse number 7, it says, I shall teach them unto thy children. Can I say this? Our children does not need to learn about baseball so much, basketball so much, football so much, sports so much. Me wrong, I like sports, but I've heard people nowadays, I've seen folks nowadays, I'm watching the ball field by on the weekends, Brother Don, and they're filled up more and more and more. Used to, a school would not dare put a sporting event on a Sunday. Now you got schools filling them up on Sunday. You wouldn't see things are being opened on Sunday. Even when I was a kid growing up, I remember we had baseball tournaments, but they didn't go on Sundays. It was always on Friday nights and Saturdays. You say, preacher, what's the problem? The world's done gone batty and they're trying to push God out. And I will always say this from the depths of my heart. The world cannot go crazy unless they went crazy first in their home and kick God out. He said, teach them to your children. Teach them how to love the Lord. Teach them how that He's one Lord. Teach Him, show Him that He's God. We got a bunch of God-hating people that does not fear the Lord, don't think He even exists no more. But I thank God there's still some people still left, and mamas that still left, that'll do those things. In this next part, in verse number 7, it says, and after it says, diligently teach them to your children, it says, thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. Can I say, that's the best conversation you can have with your kids. Ask them how their day's going at school. Ask them what's going on. If anybody's got kids like I got kids, they'll come home, talk about some person's this way and some person's that way. People's jack-legged, people's being mean, people's doing drugs, people's acting this way and acting that way. And you know what we ought to do? We ought not to laugh about it. We ought not to make fun of the people that's doing those things. But we need to instill in our kids that they need to be a light in that schoolhouse, to be a light upon that school bus. Anybody hearing the preacher? I know there ain't going to be a lot of amens, because a lot of you young people's in here and say, I didn't sign up for this. I thought we was going to come in and get like a, just maybe a 30-minute message. Jason Faulkner never preached 30 minutes anyhow. And he's going to go out and go do your thing. And you say, preacher, I thought this was about Mother's Day. Why are you beating upon the kids? I'm not beating upon the kids. Just saying this, it all starts with the mother, Sister Aaron. And I'm not going to try to say this to be mean, but there's too many sorry dads around here that won't do the things that they ought to do. I'll never forget this, and I ain't going to be mean about it. I'm just going to give you the facts, the truth. I've seen plenty of women, Sister Tracy, that have still come to church, bring their kids to church, and do the things that God wants them to do, while daddy stays home and does things that he wants to do. Somebody say amen right there. I think there'll be a lot of churches that are in trouble for what these good sainted mothers and females that got in and done some work. I'll say amen. amen. I'm not going to ask you for an amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good preaching. And can I say this right now? And when a man's too sorry, and a husband's too sorry, and a daddy's too sorry, mommy, I feel bad for you, but you got a God who loves you, who'll pick you up, help you out, strengthen you, and you make a difference. A lot of times they'll make a difference. The mama makes a difference. I didn't understand a lot of the times the things that my dad did, but I always understood what my mom was doing. And can I say this, Sister Megan? Sometimes moms ain't the best moms. But I'm glad there's grandmas. Y'all hearing the preacher? Grandmas will be there. Grandmas will help out. Grandmas will fill in the gap. Somebody say amen. I'm glad there's some grandmothers that will still toe the line and do the things that's right. I'm glad you can still walk the walk and talk the talk. Somebody says, go look at granny. A lot of folks respect their granny more than do their mom nowadays. I'll never forget it. He's down in Plumbrow in Kentucky, running around Flat Rock. If you just, we always, and now y'all don't look at me crazy now. We would say, dang it. If we said, dang it, and we whispered it. She's on the other end of the house, Brother Miller, and she could hear that. And man, she'd come squalling, threatening to wash our mouth out with soap. I'm sitting there thinking, going, that's not a cuss word, Granny. That's not a cuss word, Granny. And Granny's like, you ain't going to talk that bad way in my house. You shouldn't talk that bad way either. And she'd whoop the fool out of me just like my mama would. I thank God for these mothers, these grandmothers. Now we got great grandmothers that's still trying to fill in the gap and fill in the spots to show them about God and show them about the home. I say, bless God, praise that woman, lift her up and thank God for her. He says that we should talk about them in the home. Our conversation, not only should we teach our children, but ladies, mothers, grandmothers, soon to be mothers, or folks who's filling in as a mother, talk about the Lord. Talk about the Lord. I hear people all the time that says, you know, we talk about the Bible and talk about having the Bible in our heart, talking about godly things, and they always say, I have a hard time doing that, preacher. I just don't have the mind for it. I understand that conversation. I understand that type of reason. But let Hank Williams Jr. jump on that radio and sing, the preacher man says it's the end of time. Look, all you people's head popped up. Y'all know the words of the song, right? Kids know the words of the songs nowadays. They're not listening to this new music. They're listening to the same music we listen to. And they know the words, but put a Bible in front of them, Brother James. It's all foreign nowadays. You know why? It needs to be talked about in the home. They know more about LeBron James, know more about Kevin Durant, know more about Tom Brady. I don't know hockey too well. Forgive me, Brother James, I don't know about hockey. But they know more about, they don't really know much about hockey. Only Brother James knows about hockey. And UFC fighting, all that, big time wrestling, they can name you all the statistics. And somebody says, that's what's wrong with this younger generation. The reason why they know that stuff more is because mamas and daddies ain't talking about the Lord. It should be the forefront of our mind and our speech. You said, preacher, my kids will run off. Can I tell you this? If they're dabbling in sin, it's not going to be too long before they're knee-deep in sin. And when they get knee-deep in sin, they're going to get waist-deep in sin. And when they get waist-deep in sin, sister, set a marker down, sin will drag them up into their chin. And we're talking about baptizing them in a river. Sister Aaron, they'll take them into that sin lake, and they'll keep them down until they kill them. You know what will stop them? A good mother. Tell them about Jesus. Not only teach them, talk about it in the house, but when I walk this by the way, when you leave, talk about the Lord. When you're in the car, talk about the Lord. Let your music be about the Lord. Somebody said, how hard it is. I know exactly how hard it is. I didn't get saved. I was 27 years old. I got a whole bunch of music up from George Jones and Hank Sr. all the way to ACD, Chains, and all that. Rap wasn't in the home. Thank God there wasn't no rap in the home. But I had everything else in the home. And I understand when people I understand Johnny Cash. I understand. I'll tell you this from the depth of my heart. It'll all drag you away from the Lord. It'll destroy your home. Preach that amazing grace just bores me. The reason why it bores you is because you're seeing more. He says, talk about it when you're in the car. Talk about it when you're at the store. Don't talk about other people. Talk about the Lord. Don't talk about what the preacher preached on. Talk about how the Lord fed your soul and got a hold of your heart. Don't talk about how so-and-so's this way or so-and-so's that way. Talk about how the Lord needs to be in the home. I've had my youngins, and I'm glad they're still in church, but I know this. I know their flesh. I know their DNA, Brother Ben. They got Faulkner blood in them. They got coffee blood in them. We all have to tend with our flesh from time to time, but when we teach it in the home, we talk about it in the home, and when we talk about it in our daily life, it makes a difference. Even when them kids and them young'uns have run off, Sister Shirley, I believe they can't get away from it. That's why Proverbs chapter 22 says, train a child up in the way it should go. When you train a child up in the way it should go, and when he is old, he shall not will not depart from it. The Bible says, or the definition of training is to draw them, entice them, and to allure them. Well, you don't draw and entice and allure by just telling them about it. You show them. It makes a difference getting up and coming to church on Sunday morning. That's exactly right. It makes a difference coming to church on Sunday night. You say, preacher, why are you still harping on Sunday morning, Sunday night? Because if you come on Sunday, that's two times church in one day. Hallelujah, we're on the verge of revival. Right? Then on Wednesday night. Then in revivals. You know, I'm glad to say Mount Zion Baptist Church showed up at a revival over an hour away. Maybe they love the preacher, and that might be a good excuse, but I'm still glad God met with us. Makes a difference in a home. Mama's not only should we talk about it on the way, but it says, when thou wakest, when thou walkest, by the way, it says, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, when you go to bed, your kids ought to see you talking about the Lord or praying. When you get up in the morning, they should be able to catch you, guilty as could be, praying or seeking the Lord. You say, preacher, why this on Mother's Day? Because I've looked and I've seen and I've watched these mothers. Tammy showed me a picture of a young mother, pretty beautiful young lady, was 25 years old, got a daughter, and I'll admit to you, I was told how she committed suicide and took her own life, and I'm a nosy individual, so I went, and they said she had a Facebook, so Tammy showed me, I went creeping on her Facebook. Pastor did creep on, I don't even know, I creeped on her Facebook. I saw a world of lust and pleasure trying to replace what she needed in her heart. And could never find it, Sister Rita. Could never find peace and rest. Beautiful young baby, but still yet thought the need that was more important, that it'd be a better world with her not in it. And God help, when the greatest thing that could ever happen to an individual hung on a cross and gave his life. You say, preacher, I've messed up. You know what? We've all messed up. I'm glad we get second chances from the Lord. Amen. Ain't been a very good mother, preacher. Yeah, but you get a second chance from God. Amen. You get a second chance from God. He forgives you. He loves you and forgives you. Gives you a chance to change and rearrange everything. I know it's hard sometimes, and it's not going to be easy, but it's worth fighting for. It's worth living for, because the benefits that will come, the blessings that will come, far outweighs the burden that it brings. Notice it says in verse number 8, it says, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. I'm not going to get to all this stuff because we're running out of time, and I don't want to weary you. Why would you bind it on your hand? That's so you'll do right. It's still right to do right. You young people hearing this, preacher, it's still right to do right. Preacher, I'm doing pretty good by myself. I'm doing right on my own. You'll do fine for a while. Sin has pleasure for a season. Talk to some of these people who didn't get saved at an older age, and it weighs on you. It tears at your heart. It'll tear at your life. It'll tear at your soul. You may think it's not as important, but day you'll wake up and the years have slipped by, and mama would tell you, sign upon thine hand, thou shalt put the frontlets of thy eyes. Why should we put upon in front of our eyes? So we'll see right. If you'll do right, you can see right. And verse number 9 says, thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. What's that? So you can make sure you're living right. The Lord has the system. He has the way to make your life prosperous. Mamas, He has a way where you'll be a successful mother. But I want to put a little asterisk next to this. That does not mean your kids will follow the Lord. But I'll say this. There's no better reason than you to live this way, because there's a greater chance of them following the Lord living this way than if they don't. Right? I find myself, I'll give you these three examples. I'll find this, that this woman here, she gave a proclamation, and she was persistent, and she had a passion. And she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed. She prayed so much that the priest saw her praying. And since she was moving her mouth, Brother Paul, but she was not saying nothing out of it. And she was so passionate, she was so persistent. He thought that she was drunk. Said, something wrong with this woman. She ain't left the altar. She keeps mouthing something, but there's nothing coming out. He didn't realize in the scripture it says she was pouring out her soul unto the Lord. She was not going to take a no for an answer. She made a proclamation to God. She said, God, you give me a man child. I promise you I'll raise him right. When I wean him, I'm giving him right back to you. All I want, God, is I want me a little boy. I want me a little baby that I could call for my own, that I could train, that I could help, I could do something with. You know what? She didn't go to the doctor and try to take fertility drugs. She didn't go to a self-help counselor. She didn't go to a sperm bank to find the best one she can get. You know where she went, Sister Tina? She went to the house of God, to the altar of God, and poured out herself unto God. She made that proclamation. She said, God, I'm going to make a vow right now. You give me a boy, I'm giving him right back to you when he's weaned. And the Bible says that she not only was made that proclamation, but she was persistent. She was not leaving that altar until she got an answer. She was so passionate that she kept pouring out her soul over and over and over again. And when the priest walked by, he saw her. He said, woman, what's wrong with you? You drunk? She said, no, sir. She said, I'm not drunk, man of God. She said, but my heart's prized possession, my heart's desire is that the Lord would give me a baby. I've been trying to have babies, but he has not given me a baby. And God's the only one who can help me out. And the Bible says that the priest looked at her. He said, woman, go home. The Lord had answered thy petition. Wasn't too long after that, she conceived and she had a son. And that woman's name was Hannah. And Hannah had a boy whose name was Samuel. And she raised Samuel up the right way. She wouldn't let a razor come to his head. Some of you may not know what that means. It doesn't mean he had a mullet and he could look any way he wanted. It was a Nazarite type condition. She was wanting to raise him the right way, Brother James. And when he got weaned, what did she do? She took him to the house of God and gave him to the man of God and said, now that he's the Lord's. But she never forgot him. She gave him a coat. She brung treats. She done everything she could, and she did not let go of that boy for all of her days. You know what we need today? We don't need people looking for the best mate. We need some mamas praying for their children, pouring out their soul and pouring out their heart, making proclamations to raise them right. Secondly, we have a woman and a grandmother. Hallelujah. I want to say this. I know I love Mother's Day. I still want to thank God for you grandmas. You know, the Bible says you elder women are like mothers to us younger people. That's one of those times I can jump in the younger part, Brother Roger. They're like mamas to me. And Paul said this to Timothy. He said, Timothy, he said, I see this unfeigned faith in you. Now, feigned means imaginary, fake, hypocrite. He says, but I don't see that in you, Timothy. I don't see a fake faith. I don't see a fake religion. I don't see a fake Christianity. Y'all hearing the preacher? He said, I don't see that in you. I seen something legit and something real. He said, the reason why is because it was in your grandma and it was in your mama. Somebody says, well, preacher, does that mama teaching and that mama teaching and that mama preaching at the home, does it work? Ask Timothy. Lois and Eunice, Lois was his grandma and Eunice was his mama. It made a difference in Timothy's life. Paul said this, Paul must have knew Lois and Eunice because he named them by name. He says, you got the same faith that your grandma and your mama had. Somebody say amen. Thank God for a heritage. Didn't mention his daddy's name, but it mentioned his grandma and mama's name. Y'all hearing the preacher? Y'all still with me? Say amen. If you listen real good, I'll preach for maybe 5-10 minutes. If you don't listen real good, we'll preach till after the baptism. She had faith. Her daughter had faith. The grandson had faith. Some people said, preacher, it's too hard, it don't work. The reason why it's too hard, it don't work, is because nobody wants to be consistent and keep doing it. I don't think Sister Stella would mind. A lot of times, I've known Sister Stella for quite a while, preaching, been out singing, everything like that. And Stella, sometimes she puts her arm around me. She says, I love you as if you was one of my own kids, and I really deeply appreciate that. I really appreciate it because there's some women in here that's made a difference in my life. They have done some things and been some things in my life that's helped me walk this way to realize that even though it may seem like it's rough right now, I can look down the road, and please don't take this the wrong way. Sister Vicky got me last Sunday. I better watch how I say this. But I've looked at some of the gray-haired people in here, some of the gray-haired women in here. I've seen that you stuck with the stuff. You stayed with the Bible. You stayed with the Lord. And I can see there's victory on the other side. All I got to do is to buck up, pick up my bottom lip, and say it's going to be worth it after a while. It'll be worth it after a while. Stay with the Lord. Stay with the church. And stay with His Word. This woman here and her mother and her son, they had that faith. But that faith made a difference in Timothy's life, Paul told Timothy, he said, continue in the things which thou hast learned. He said, continue in the things that you have been taught by your mom and grandma. He said, continue in them because they'll make thee wise unto salvation. You know, one of the hardest things I have to deal with is these young kids getting saved because I don't understand it. I refer a lot to Brother James and some others that got saved at a young age because, Michelle, I didn't get saved until I was older, so I'm looking for the same thing in me that's in me, that's in them, but it's totally different. It's the same salvation, but the rough life wasn't there been like ours was. So these young kids, it's different, so we need help. I'm glad there's some mothers that know exactly what they're doing and some grandmamas that says, you know what, stick with that word. I've watched Sister Sharon. I've watched some of these ladies and the testimonies of Donna, Sister Donna, how they kept laboring in the Word and laboring in the Lord and doing the things that made a difference in young people's life. And Lois and Eunice, they may have had an unruly child named Timothy. He may have skipped school. He may have got detentions. He may have gotten in trouble, may have gotten in fights, but they kept giving him the Word over and over and over and over and over again. And eventually it worked. Eventually it works. He said, Timothy, continue things which thou hast learned, for they shall make you wise unto salvation. Lastly, I'll give you this last mother. Y'all still with me? Say amen. This is the last one, and I'll be done. Matthew chapter 15, the Canaanite mama. She knew where to go, and she wasn't taking no for an answer. Her daughter is sick. She doesn't belong to the Lord. She's not a Jew. And so she seeks out Jesus. Doesn't give her name. Doesn't say it's Sister So-and-so. Doesn't say she's a lifelong member. Just says she knew where to go, Brother Don. She went to Jesus. She come to Jesus and she says, my daughter's sick. I need your help. And Jesus wouldn't answer her. He said, send her away. She left. She minded the Lord, but she didn't quit. We got too many people quitting today. We got too many people giving up and said, I've tried. Well, what you need to do is stop trying. Just get into the one who can make the difference. Don't quit. Don't give up. It may be hard. You may be burned down. Don't quit. Don't give up. Hey, mom. Kids may not be listening to you. Husband may not be supporting you. Y'all help me right now, please. Don't give up. Don't give up. She had a purpose. I could have went through all the P's. I had all these adjectives. You know, that's what I love about notes. You study. You get all the P's. I got persistent and proclamation and passion. I've got proven and permanent and precise. I got all these. But that woman, she had only had one. She was purposed. She had a purpose. And Megan, that was, she's going to get Jesus' attention even if it killed her. I'm going to get this Lord. I'm going to get my Lord's attention. He said, woman, he said, it's not worthy for me to take the bread from the children and give it unto the dogs. She said, yeah, Lord, you're right. But she says, at least the dogs get some crumbs that fall from the table. I'm not asking for a lot, Lord. I'm asking for my baby. Nothing for me, God. I'm asking for my child. Nothing for me, God. I'm asking for my one, my love, my heart's desire. I'm asking for my daughter. You know what would do a whole lot more good nowadays? And I'm not saying that the women in here is not doing it, but can I say this? Get a purpose in your heart to take your kids to the altar and take them to the Lord. Preacher, I can't get them physically there. I'm not talking about dragging them physically. I'm talking about lifting their name up in prayer. Oh, don't ever forget power, the power of prayer, the importance of prayer, the difference that prayer will make. Hey, singing moves the congregation. I love it when Sister Aaron stands up and she sings. It moves my heart. I like it when I hear these kids sing. It moves my spirit, and it moves the congregation. Preaching will move upon sinners. But the only thing that will move God is the prayer of God's people moving Him and praying and ringing that prayer bell of heaven saying, God, my child needs You. And before she left, this is what the Lord says, thy faith has made it so. I still think it works. I still think that it's genuine. And I still think it whoops Dr. Phil, Oprah, and any other self-help or somebody else in the days. And that's Jesus Christ. The best friend for a mom is not a sweeper or a dish towel or a mop or a husband. The best friend for you mothers is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I'd like to beat my chest and say I've been the best husband that my wife could ever get. But I fail her at times. And I know, and I know Tammy don't mind, there's times she's seen her own faults and failures and she tries to make up for them. Ain't nobody perfect. If you're here and you failed, don't beat yourself up. You ain't perfect. You ain't never going to be perfect. Strive for it. Strive for it. But the best way to do that is to give everything to Jesus. Be persistent. Be purposed. Be passionate. Pour everything out and give it to the Lord. Out of all the women in the Bible, the one that always sticks out in my heart is that Canaanite woman. She knew where to go. You know, a lot of times people say, well, the kid's got the sniffles. Get him to the doctor. The kid needs discipline. Get him to the daddy. The kid needs education. Get him to the school. The kid needs this. The kid needs that to get him somewhere. I like when the mama says, my kid needs A, we're going to get him to Jesus. And everything else in the alphabet, I'm going to get him to Jesus. Can I say this? It's worth every time. And some of you may not realize it, and some of you mamas may not realize it, but it's having an effect. It's having an effect. Even if the youngins don't admit it. Bible says a woman that fears the Lord is to be praised. To be praised. Stand to your feet all around the building.